Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and I am honored and privileged. We have with us today the staff of the Sister Clara Muhammad School of Corona Queens.
First, it was just a brawl, but at some point, someone pulled out that 6-inch kitchen knife and plunged it into the unidentified victim's back.
And you were trying to get everybody to pull the knife out.
I don't know. We're having an interference here. Let us come back on another line. Hold on, dear people. Please hold on just for a minute.
You might have killed him, but I didn't know.
Police arrived on the scene while others lined up to take pictures. Meantime, the victim pulled out his phone to make what he thought might be his final call.
He didn't say much. He was just going to phone something that's really trying to use the lady what happened. And he was telling them that it might be the last time that he was
picking
up. It was kind of sad.
But again, that victim expected to be all right. We are right by Jamaica Station, and it is believed that that dispute might have been over a group of men who were selling MetroCard swipes down at the subway station down below. Police still on the search for the suspect involved.
Just a moment, dear people. We're having some difficulty. We will be on the air in a few minutes. I don't know what the experience is. Hold on. Thank you, dear people, for your patience and time. Thank you.
This after a fiery accident at exit 66 in Mawa. I would assume for Joe Torres at the scene with the latest. Joe.
Bill, here we are 5.5 hours after this crash and fire. And yes, there's a long stretch of northbound Interstate 287 that remains closed. It remains empty as investigators try and figure out what led to this fiery accident. I want to show you what you see right over my right shoulder here. That's the cab of the tractor trailer that was at the center of this fiery crash. In fact, if you look closely, it's still smoldering. This is as close as we can get to the scene, but let's show you some pictures we got earlier from Newscopter 7. Right around 12:30, the tractor trailer struck a cement mixer that was disabled on the side of the highway. Three men from that vehicle, and for one reason or another, stepped outside the vehicle. They are the three victims in this crash, a crash that also involved a pickup truck and a car. We got the victims.
Give enough people.
She was going by the scene. She caught the tractor trailer shortly after it burst into flames. You can see the plumes of smoke going high into the air. In fact, the smell of burned rubber still lingers at this hour. We've also got live pictures from Newscopter 7. There was a massive response to this crash and this fire. The lengthy investigation continues, and that's what prompted the closure of northbound Interstate 287, traffic diverted at exit 59. Remember, this crash happened at exit 66, a significant stretch of a major corridor that remains closed at this hour, and there's no indication as to when that stretch of highway will reopen. We're live in Mawa tonight. I'm Joe Torres, Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
All right, keep us posted, Joe. Thank you. Let's continue on to the traffic theme, because there's Sharon Sohn above the scene. Sharon, Joe talked about this long and lengthy delay. Give us a little more detail.
Yes, I'll keep it by 7 miles between these that have been closed now for 5.5 hours. Everyone getting pushed off at exit 59 here from Route 208 to 208, really taking the brunt of the damage. That is jam-packed between these 7 all the way through to Route 17. It was coupled with a few earlier problems as well. So really, the problem here is that there's a lot of alternatives from this area. If you can get over to 202, it's going to treat you better, because with Captain Brandy, FBI, fly over this, you'll see, look at these delays on 287 actually getting worse instead of better, stretching back beyond to 202 at this point. And unfortunately, as Joe mentioned, there is no word as to when this might reopen. Reporting live over 287 and Shannon Snow, Channel 7.
Shannon, thank you. We're staying in Jersey for our next story. Governor Christie tonight facing a new federal investigation about a bridge, but this time it is not the George Washington Bridge. It is a new probe into the funding of repairs for the Pulaski Skyway. Did the Christie administration violate securities laws? The SEC now reportedly is looking into whether Port Authority funds were improperly used to pay for the repairs. The Port Authority originally raised legal questions about using the money. But New Jersey's Attorney General, who was appointed by Christie, said it was legal.
Four charges tonight: the former Suffolk County cop accused of targeting a Hispanic and then stealing from her. Scott Green back in court today facing additional charges after 20 more people came forward to say they too were ripped off by it. The former sergeant accused of pulling over Hispanics and stealing money out of their wallet. These new charges include hate crime charges. Cops say there are or might be more victims out there.
Or some that we know haven't, safe enough to come forward. They're still afraid to come forward. And we're certain that there are more out there, too.
Green was arrested after a sting. Prosecutors say he was caught on camera stealing $100 from an undercover Hispanic detective back in January.
If someone is on the line and you have having the background noise, I would appreciate if you mute your phone. Dear beloved people, we're back on the air, and we have with us, I believe, Brother Imam Ramadan, Yusuf Ramadan, of the Masjid Nuruddin, and we have Sister Shirley Sharifa Dai of the Esclair Muhammad School. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. Love, 917-416. You're on the air with Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, brother. Ma'am, would you please give us an opening statement as always? And is Sister Shirley with us now?
I don't know if Sister Shirley is with us. I spoke to her a little earlier.
Yes, okay. All right, well, you may proceed. You are the director of education. Tell us, what does it mean to be the director of education? Just give us a history of the Clara Muhammad School in Corona, Queens.
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that is with God's name. A merciful benefactor, a merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you and your honorable radio audience. As you stated, I am the resident imam of Masjid Nuruddin and the director of education for the Clara Muhammad School of Queens that is also housed in Masjid Nuruddin. And the history of the school, well, the school was actually founded by my predecessor, Imam Qasim Bakruddin. At least our Queens version of the school was founded by Imam Qasim Bakruddin and Sister Shirley Sharifa Dai, who we hope will be with us shortly. And this is going back into 1980, around that back that far. And it started out with only a couple of grades, kindergarten and first and second grade. And as the children grew and the need grew to educate them at a higher level, we added on third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and then what's referred to as middle school, or used to be called junior high school, the fifth and sixth grades, and then in seventh and eighth grade. And then when there was a need for a high school, and Imam Bakruddin, Qasim Bakruddin, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise, and Sister Shirley, they very courageously did what had to be done in order to set up a high school and get those instructors and get the equipment, the books, and everything that we needed. All of this was done, by and large, without the help of any governmental assistance, only with the parents and the supporters from the masjid to help us to achieve those ends. And we kept on in the tradition of the University of Islam that was the predecessor to the Clara Muhammad School, begun by the namesake, that is the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the mother of our leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the highest place in the paradise. So that's somewhat of a thumbnail sketch of the...
Well, I like that thumbnail. I could actually grow a fingernail and a fingerprint from that. Now, how long have you been operating in the capacity of the director of the Clare Muhammad School and the resident imam of Masjid Nuruddin. And while you're at that, why don't you give us a history of Masjid Nuruddin? It has a lot of historical significance because I had the privilege and the distinct honor of being in your presence there in Corona, Queens, and I'm really my last about 10 years of my life post-imamship of Baltimore and serving on the council imam. I lived in that area, so that is, was my home. And I knew it also as 7B, one of the last temples I taught in, and the Nation of Islam was 7B. So I would like for you to give that illustrious history to our radio listening audience.
Well, my history there began in about the 1982 at the Masjid Nuruddin, that was called at that time Queen Center. And Imam Bakruddin later changed his name to honor a sister, Sister Nuruddin, who passed, may Allah forgive her sins and grant her paradise, and had been very instrumental in helping to build that community with her energies and her presence and her contributions, financial contributions as well. And so we changed the name to Masjid Nuruddin to honor her. And something that our brothers and sisters listening should consider. We know we named the masjid Alhamdulillah and Sabor and names like that, and we named it after brothers, but we should think about naming it after some of our illustrious sisters as well. But I started working there at about 1982 as the director of security, also teaching Islamic studies and English and social studies and math. You know, you had to wear a lot of hats back then to the second and third grade, fourth and fifth grade. And on the passing of my mentor, Imam Qasim Bakruddin, in the year 2001, I became the acting imam, and then the community gave me a vote of confidence to be the resident imam of Masjid Nuruddin until this present day.
Now, I noticed that also at this educational banquet that you had, your mother was there. I'm very proud. And I don't know whether she was Muslim or not, but you, I told the brother as soon as I walked in, I was trained as an FOI and a great observer, and of course, I've been a preacher all my life, so I read people quite well. I said, I guarantee that's the imam's mother, and she looked very youthful, and she looked like she was ready to give instructions out. So tell us about your upbringing. She looked well-mannered, very upright, a very disciplined person. Tell us about your background. And I noticed you say you taught English, and I noticed listening to you that your English grammar is quite good. So would you please share with us Imam Ramadan, making of Imam Yusuf Ramadan?
Well, you're a very astute observation, you know, in connecting that to my mother. Before I could, myself and my sisters, before we attended school, my mother made sure that we could read and write and also count. Before we, in those years, we didn't, it wasn't such a emphasis on pre-K and kindergarten. So we started in first grade, and due to my mother's diligence in teaching us, being a stickler for correct English, and also my father pushing us in the area of vocabulary. And when I entered the first grade, I was evaluated at a fifth grade reading level. So, yes, you're correct. My mother, even to this day, can beat me doing word puzzles, which she does all the time, and she's in her 80s now. to keep her mind bright and sharp. And believe you me, she is right there and alert and making sure that everything is on point. She will correct you in a heartbeat to let you know that this is not the correct English grammar. My father, on the other hand, was a mathematician, and he worked with numbers. I leave it at that. he was a man of numbers, you know. And my mother wasn't so strong in that area of mathematics, but that I got from him. And so, you know, we had a very good upbringing. My father's side of the family is from Trinidad. And my grandfather.
Where's your mother's side of the family from?
My mother's side of the family is also from a historic area. And we just had Juneteenth. And my mother's side of the family is from Galveston, Texas.
Galveston, Texas. Okay, you and President Sutton may be kin because he's from that part of the world, because he's from Austin, Texas. But most of the African-Americans down there, they were driven out of Virginia. Your mother reminds me of a Virginian, you know. So she might have been sold down the river. Her family must have been sold down the river down into Texas. I want to now notice something that you brought up in your talk. You brought out your lecture. You brought up that your mother is a member of Reverend Floyd A. Blake's church, former congressman, and that we didn't need any lessons on Muslim-Christian relationships. What did you mean by that?
Well, just that, you know, my mother is a Christian, and most of my family members are Christian, my sisters, et cetera. And so, you know, a lot of times we hear that the Muslims need and the Christians need to learn how to get along with one another, and that's not a problem for us as African Americans. You know, as you know, our sister, great sister, Ruby D has recently transitioned, passed away. May Almighty God forgive her sins and grant her paradise. And she has a Muslim daughter as well as grandchildren, you know, her and brother Ossie Davis, who also passed away. And so this is not an unusual thing for us to have Christian and Muslim families, Christians and Muslims in the same family. So this is not something that we understand. Christianity. I was a graduate of Catholic schools, Catholic high school, and started out at St. Thomas over in Harlem on 118th Street. And when the family moved to Queens, I attended St. Catherine of Siena, a very well-known school. And the Catholics had a very good reputation for academics at that time. Then I attended I was taught by the Jesuits in high school, who are known as the scholars, the scholarly order in Catholicism, and where you were required to study Latin and also religious studies. So I have a very good working.
You were eminently qualified if you studied, with the Jesuits. A Jesuit high school, a graduate of the Jesuit taught high school, is better qualified than most persons who graduated from college with a master's degree. The great rigor of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I was telling one of the cardinals once, I said, you know, in my shopping tour for a religion that made me comfortable, I did shop with Rome. I was originally a Baptist and became a Baptist preacher, but after some years I got dissatisfied and started shopping. And of course, after some shopping, I ended up at the door of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad School, and went and entered that school, same school that Minister Malcolm was in, same school that Minister Farrakhan dropped out of, that Muhammad Ali was in. I always tell people that, you know, it was a school near that graduated team, I'm W.D. Muhammad. I want to talk with you about a very dear friend of mine, a pastor there in Corona, and it reminds me a lot of the Prophet Muhammad's followers who was housed under the days of oppression in Ethiopia, in a Christian country, that your school, when it was tragically burned at a fire, you all were received by the Reverend Marvin, Reverend Dr. Marvin J. Bentley, a very, very close personal friend, spent time talking with him, preached in this church many times. He's one of my old Baptist brothers who haven't forgotten me. I have to make it clear to him, I'm not perpetrating. I have left the cloth, but I haven't thrown away my skills. No one has any reported, I hope they haven't found that I've lost my skills. So I want you to share with us that experience. I'm just speaking humorously because I hope the Reverend Marvin J. Bentley, Reverend Dr. Marvin J. Bentley is listening, because I think it's so wonderful that an African-American Christian institution would open its doors to the Claremont School. And it tells us a lot about the great human building skills, relationship skills of the great Imam Qasim Bakr Dean Rahmatullah Alayhi. Yes, so please share that with us, dear brother.
Well, yes, Dr. Bentley, Pastor Bentley, was very welcoming to me. He was a good friend of my predecessor, Imam Qasim Bakr Dean, and he related to the audience on Saturday how he recommended that Imam Bakr Dean be included in some of the Christian pastors' exploits and some of their organizations, and he didn't find a lot of acceptance at that time. But as I related, Imam W.D. Muhammad has taught us that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is noted to have said that in the end days, in the end times, you will see me and Christ Jesus together, meaning the communities, you know. And, of course, it's only fitting that those of us who have been persecuted and oppressed in this wilderness of North America, regardless as to our religious persuasion, that we come together and to extol the virtues of humanity and our common fathers, Adam and Abraham, and to lead the way with the light shining now from the West. I hope that's not too. I hope that's not too philosophical for you.
No, sir. I think it was. You know, I believe that African Americans suffer from not financial poverty and not material poverty. I think we suffer from philosophical poverty, and I think Almighty God has blessed us as a people, not only with a religion for Al-Islam as He's blessed us, but for a philosophy of living from Imam Warfa Deen Muhammad for the African-American people. And my work is that to work for the people, our people, to give them, particularly those of faith, guidance and philosophical. So I think it was quite good. I'm hoping if Sister Shirley Dye is with us, please turn on your telephone. I know she's busy. We certainly want to hear from her. And any of you would wish to join the conversation at 805-727-7013. Now, Buddy Mam, I am going to ask you to, I wouldn't be a very good preacher. I would show that my training was poor. I was trained in three traditions, the Black Church, the Nation of Islam, and Al-Islam. And if I didn't ask you to take up a collection for your cause, which is the Clare Muhammad School, why don't you share with us the state of the school, what is needed, and how people can help? And I'm not going to charge you for a commercial to do it here, because I feel I'm already an honorary member of the Clare Muhammad School faculty. Even though my PhD, I have an ND and a PhD, ND is a... Well, I have a DDS, Doctor of Denigrification Sciences, from UCLA, PhD, and the philosophy of living for Imam Wahdi Muhammad, even though I have formal education from some American universities. But I certainly would never throw away my DDS, nor would I throw away my PhD in the philosophy of life from Dr. Wahdi Muhammad. I will say this. I heard somebody say recently, now, the Quran was read in the Vatican. Well, that's not true. This is the first time. The Quran was read in the Vatican by Imam Wahdi Muhammad. See, they don't want to give us that. We have to be very careful of people trying to steal our birthplace. Let me not get on the soapbox. I will do that later. I have a few questions that are hot-button questions. And I thought, before I put to the hot-button questions, I want you to pick up a collection because I don't want the people to jump off the air. So I want them to tell us what we can do to help the Claremont School. I passed by the building, 105-01, Northern Boulevard, only one block away from Bright. You live at 103-26, Astoria Boulevard, about 10 years. So my heart was moved. In fact, it moved me so much, I feel like moving back to Corona and getting me some macaroni. Please share with us the state of the school building and what is needed so we can walk into the building.
Well, what we need is to complete the rehabilitation construction of the building, which is going to cost us about another $150,000. We've already spent over $600,000 repairing the building. As you know, the cost of construction in New York City is astronomical in terms of not only building supplies and equipment, but labor. So this is what we need to complete. It's not really an astronomical amount of money. You know, we have a tendency as African Americans to make something bigger than it is, you know. And we have to see it in its entirety. And rather than trying to eat an elephant all at one time, we need to just take it in bites, you know. And as you take manageable bites, and when by the time you look up, you have devoured the whole thing. So we're not looking for any one person, unless that person is of means, you know, to send us the whole thing. But if everybody gets some, everybody does their part, and takes a page from the book of President Barack Obama, and send a little twos and fews, fives and tens, 20s and 50s, or 100 if you can afford it, I'm sure that there's strength in numbers, and we will be able to reach that goal in no time flat. And you can send it to Master Nurdin at 105-01 Northern Boulevard, Corona, New York, 11368.
Okay, and what else? You just tell us physically what else needs to be done. I looked at the building, and the building has been, I believe it's been, the brick has been, once I looked at the building, it was, you had to steel up, and then I see you built the walls. What else remains to be done?
Well, we put an extension on the building and built it out. So now our Musala, it holds about 300 people comfortably. And we have to get the HVAC installed. We have to get the water service in the building and also the sprinkler system.
Okay. How many classrooms will you have in the building?
Well, we still have the same amount of classrooms. We couldn't really change that on the first floor anyway. We have seven classrooms. We kept the structure of the first floor basically the same, which houses the school. There's two bathrooms, one for the boys and one for the girls. We have a basement, which has our cafeteria. We took out the boiler, and we will be having a central heat and air, HVAC system. And we had to shore up the flooring, you know. When you begin to rip a building apart and put it back together, you see some things that you wouldn't have seen had you not started that demolition process. So, you know,
so that's a pretty old building, isn't it?
Yes, and we had to do asbestos removal. You know, we weren't compensated for that. You know, the insurance didn't compensate us for that. That was $20,000. We had people trying to charge us all the way up to $60,000 for the same job, you know. So a lot of these, if you know anything about the construction business, you know, it's a very shady business, and they're always having issues in terms of what they call euphemistically, you know, cost overruns.
In other words, in street power, that would perhaps come out to game and extortion and other kinds of things, right?
Oh, yeah, everybody's got an angle. Everybody's looking for money. We've had people run off with monies, you know, Muslims, non-Muslims, you know. And, you know, so we've reached out, and some of them are claiming that they're going to come back and do the right thing, you know, which remains to be seen. But the reality is that, you know, it was quite a bit of work to do. I'm not a trained developer, and I really had no desire to go into construction business. But sometimes the law, you know, wearing my hat, multiple hats as the imam, which is also gives me fiduciary responsibilities, overseeing the disbursements of the monies and getting good people in place to do the work, so we thought. Most of them were. Some of them were not. But this is part of, you know, they even have a show dedicated to unmasking unconscionable construction people. People.
Are you referring to Marvin Greed?
Yes.
Yes. It's a show to watch. I mean, and one wonders whether or not just because one takes a pork chop out of one's mouth and put a bean pie in one's hand and eat some halal chicken, is that a formula for eliminating niggerisms? Excuse my language. That's my language. That's not your language.
Well, that is my language. I think you hit the nail on the head. No, it is not. It's a process. It's a process.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. I remember there's a burning question from someone who just texted me a message, and that's you. Would you be willing to have Minister Louis Farrakhan, as some call him, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to come and do a fundraiser for you?
Well, we're open to accept, sadaqa, help from all quarters, all people of goodwill. We're willing to work with all people of goodwill.
So the question is, this is from an NOI person, would you be willing to invite the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to your event to raise money for you?
Well, we don't have an event planned right now, but if they would like to propose doing one in the near future, we certainly would be willing to speak with them about it. We just had our
event on Saturday. I have to tell you, if you did have such an event with Minister Louis Farrakhan, I would be so far away from it that I'd probably have a helicopter to get me away. I this is my editorial. I don't want to expect you to comment on it. I as early as 1973, the last address I gave in one of our temples was at 7B, and after hearing Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, I was infatuated, enthralled, and mesmerized and charmed by one of the greatest charmers that have ever walked the earth. That's not my title. That's what Brother Minister Farrakhan was called by him. And once I heard Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, that was the end of Brother Minister Farrakhan. And I left the temple and didn't come back until February 1975. So I wouldn't go across the street to hear him or use him for anything. But that's my position. I see him, and I've given him a hug like most African men meet at funerals, And we hug each other. We promise each other we will see each other. And I haven't seen him since. So, and I'm not frankly looking for him. But that's I just threw that out. So, dear caller who asked that, who texted me, I hope I've answered your question. I love you dearly. I want you to know, dear caller, dear soldier, dear sister, dear MGT, I'm a graduate of the FOI class. And my wife was a graduate of the MGT class. So I have graduated from the Nation of Islam, and I have gone to where Brother Minister Farrakhan told me to go. In 1972 it was. He said that Minister Wallace Muhammad was the one that would preach the Quran. So I followed what our minister told us, and I cannot forget that our dear beloved minister also told me that when I asked him, what do you think of the Supreme Minister, circa 1975, September, he said the Supreme Minister is being modest. He is not the supreme, just the supreme minister, the Mujaddid. He is the Imam Mujaddid Mahdi. It took me 5 years of studying al-Islam before I knew what he was talking about. So he was way ahead of me, and I understand he cried and perhaps even crocodile tears. But may Allah bless him with all that which he does of good, all that he does of lies God will not reward him. We have a caller from 654. I don't know what the number is. You're on the air with Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you
hear me? Walaikum assalam.
Yeah, this is area code 401. But anyway.
401, go up. You're on the air with Brother Imam Yusuf Ramadan, the Director of Education for the Clare Muhammad School of Corona, Queens, and the resident Imam of Masjid Nuruddin in Corona, Queens. I believe it's 11. What is it, 113? What's that zip code over there, Brother Imam?
11368.
I thought that was. That used to be my area code, my zip code, too. So I received quite a few checks in that zip code, 11368. 105-01 Northern Boulevard, Corona, Queens, 11368. Send your check. Brother Imam, and my team, you're on the air with Religion Means Alive, and Imam Yusuf Nuruddin.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you, Imam Alfred Muhammad. I appreciate you very much, my dear brother. And I'd like to say,
Assalamu alaikum to
Ramadan, Imam Ramadan.
Yes, sir.
I send a greeting to you and all our listening audience. I thank Allah for giving me this moment to just ask a quick question. The quick question is, Imam Ramadan, Mubashir Akhtar from Brooklyn and I have a program, as you know, Message of Concern. And we, on that Message of Concern, we have a segment where we push to have people send money to the Clare Muhammad School system, the one nearest to them. And if they don't, we push them to send their donations to Corona, Queens, New York Muhammad School. And my question is, since we've been pushing and pushing and pushing, I just want to know if I wanted to ask Ms. Shirley Dides, Sister Shirley Dides, and that was, are they recognizing any kind of increase? Do they notice any kind of increase in donations? Not looking for no dollar amounts. I just want to know, have they seen any increase in donations? Because we've been really pushing people to send donations, particularly to the school in Corona, Queens. So if you just answer that, just that one question, I'd be happy. Inshallah.
Well, we have seen some donations from places that we weren't familiar with, so inshallah, that would be as a result of your efforts, and we ask Allah to bless you for being steadfast in that area of concern. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question. Thank you very kindly. May Allah continue to bless you and your effort to bring back the school for them children. You know, that's the whole thing.
That Brother Imam from Providence, Rhode Island, has indeed been pushing that effort. And we really, really appreciate him. Every time he comes on our program, which is regular and frequently, he's pushing 105-01 Northern Boulevard, Clare Muhammad School, 11368, Corona, New York. I'm sure he must recite it in his sleep. But God is blessing him. May God
that is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because we have a lot of non-Muslims listen to our program. We want to know, we're one of the few programs among the Muslim broadcasters that is geared to reach non-Muslims. We want them to have a better understanding of what we're doing and a better understanding of what African Americans are doing. We feel that the Claire Muhammad School is a part of that great, rich tradition of independent education. We believe nobody should educate our children. Now, if a man won't teach you, if he won't teach you right, how could he educate your children? Brother Mel, can you explain that to me? How can anyone expect another man who's held him down in the mud for 400 years to educate his child? Can you, is there any reason why I should trust such education?
Well, Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said, man, they won't treat you right, won't teach you right, you know. So
have you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I attended a symposium called African Problems for African Solutions last week with the permanent representative, the ambassador from Senegal to the United Nations, and also the ambassador from Gambia. And the ambassador from Gambia spoke, and he talked about how the World Bank advised them not to open a college or university of their own, but to continue to attend the European institutions and American institutions, that it was too costly. And they decided not to take that advice because they were concerned that the core, the content of the curriculum that they were getting from the European institutions were Eurocentric and not at all respecting their point of view and their history. The ambassador from Senegal, I had an opportunity to speak with him after the event, and he shared with me, we were talking about education for girls, for females, and why it was being accepted and celebrated in countries like Senegal, while we were seeing the problems with this organization known as Boko Haram, and in Afghanistan and other Muslim countries where the females were being persecuted for attending school and discouraged. And he said that because in Senegal, and I told him I was familiar with his sheikh, Murtada Mbaki, may Allah forgive me, sins grand in paradise, who came here and visited, he's from the Murid community in Senegal, and came and I went and picked him up, brought him out to New Jersey to meet and have breakfast with Imam W.D. Muhammad before they both passed away. And he said that the difference was some of them were leaving Africa and going to the so-called Middle East. You know, East is a direction. The Middle is a designation. There's no such thing as the Middle East. But they were going there to these countries to learn the religion and coming back with some strange ideas. And I assured him that the African-American community has experienced the same problem as opposed to being taught by their own. And, of course, the one most eminently qualified to teach the religion of Al-Islam is none other than Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes, sir, brother. That is a very important distinction. I have a 13-year-old young man that asked a question. Why is it, I'm currently in the public school of a city in Jersey, why should I want to go to a Muslim school? And what advantages in other any discipline?
Well, the advantages, if you're a Muslim, obvious, maybe not so much so if you're not Muslim, because we do educate non-Muslims. Sister Shirley talked about over 20 years of her organizing the college tour that goes on a bus tour of the HBCUs, and of her relationship with these admission officers to get some of our young men and women, not just from our school, but from other schools that go with us on this tour, enable them to get accepted into colleges that they may not have the academic chops to get into presently. They may not have the academic accomplishments. They may not be up to the standards. But because of her excellent relationship with them that she has cultivated over the years, and also giving them scholarship money, jobs, grants to get into school, and as our keynote speaker, you know, you were mentioning Minister Farrakhan, you know, I talked to Imam Mikhail Shabazz in Philadelphia at Masjid Allah, who hosted this past weekend also Minister Farrakhan as his keynote speaker. And I asked him why he had made that choice, why he had made that decision. He said that the previous year he had invited the pastor of the largest African-American church in Philadelphia. And being a Christian, and a lot of the Muslims weren't too happy with that choice either. But they had their most successful program ever. And I was happy and inspired by that to invite Dr. Bentley to come. And I think it was a historic occasion that you can attest to in that, not that we haven't had relationships with him and some of the other pastors before, but I think the spirit that Allah blessed us to have on Saturday, as Imam Maskia said to me, Allah was with us.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you still hear me, Imam Muhammad? Alfred?
Yes, sir, I can certainly hear you. Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to say that based on that last statement that the Imam was talking about, you know, our Imam says and Allah says that we shouldn't mix the pure with the impure. And we already know that what they're delivering, what Farrakhan is bringing, is impure. And I say impure, I mean they don't have their basis is not on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And if like for instance the Christians they stand apart, they know where they stand, they're not trying to be a Muslim or identify as Muslim, but Farrakhan and them are trying to identify as Muslims, but yet they won't accept that decree, as he may say it when he's in a group or somewhere he may profess his shahadatan, but his followers will be outside selling the newspaper. That contradicts everything he's saying inside the building. So I don't think it's a good idea for our community to mix with them. It's too bad. I'm not blaming the members. I'm only blaming him. I'm not blaming his members. But so thank you. That's what I just want to add to that. I don't think we should mix or have him represent anything for us, anything at all. He shouldn't represent anything at all for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Thank you, my dear brother, for your comment. And I happen to say, as a moderator, I agree 1,000% with your sentiments. I was in the presence of Larry Foex Prescott, and I hesitated even to greet him. Now, you have to understand, I was trained. I'm not a refined gentleman. I was trained on Fifth Street in Lynchburg, Virginia, in the pool room. So I have evolved to a refined person. So with my training in the pool room, if you were on the other side of the street, we left on the other side of the street. So that's my training. One day I will evolve to be a highly evolved person, but I think I can also support this. I agree with you. Salt water and sweet water should never mix. I'd rather have dialogue with Brother Reverend Dr. Marvin J. Bentley than to have my brother. I don't want to confuse people and engage them. Please, we are not that focused. We talk about the prayer on the school. And will you tell us, Billy, ma'am, about some of your graduates and where they are attending college? I noticed that there was one brother that was actually a 4.0 student at a great African-American institution, and it's a great American institution. We should stop calling these white and black schools. Hey, man, it's sponsored by us, but anybody can come. And in Timbuktu, anybody can come. So these schools are open to everybody. But I wanted to say this man went to Johnson C. Smith, and I understand he got a 4-point average. So, buddy, ma'am, while we're on the air, would you please share with us some of the illustrious graduates that you have met, Claire Muhammad School in Florida, so people will know where their money is going to produce a finished product?
Well, as I said, all of those institutions that you call, rightfully so, and let me just exhort you, Brother Imam, encourage you to come out of the pool room. You don't have to stay in the pool room. You have graduated from that university, and you're going on to graduate school now. So don't feel constrained to be in the pool room.
Yes, sir. Being honest with you, sometimes the pool room skills can benefit me. I learned as a young Muslim, a couple of times I threw those skills away, and I only seem to put slip receivers activating as Muslim, trying to take advantage of running off with money. And my pool room skills came out very handedly because I was able to spot them before they could finish saying, As-salamu alaykum. So I haven't thrown them away. I have graduated from there, but I have not lost any of my skills. I have been able to recognize that, and I'm glad I grew up with a brother who was a thug of love, but I was never a thug. But I didn't ignore those skills. It's my crook 10,000 miles away. Yes, sir. So I thank you for giving me that invitation, but I just don't want to throw my skills away. Do you think I'm correct in maintaining my skills and my alertness, even though I've graduated from the pool room?
Well, you have to. You know, Allah doesn't make any mistakes. Whatever road that he allowed you to travel down, you have to use in your keeping your memory banks and your total recall. And, you know, just as the great prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, he utilized even the jinn to perform certain tasks for him. So I'm not discounting that at all. I was never a thug. I don't accept that terminology. You know, a thug is the bottom of the barrel of a criminal element, you know, like the individual that they show with the Applejack on and a Lone Ranger mask, you know what I mean, and a black jacket in his hand. That's the image that comes to me when they use that title thug, you know, and our young brothers in the hip hop community have embraced it for some reason. But I digress. I just will say this. In reading the editorial in the Daily News the other day, they used the analogy to try to tell the Muslims that the NYPD should continue to search for terrorists among us and that we shouldn't feel discriminated against because when they were investigating the mafia, they looked among Italian Americans. First of all, it's historically inaccurate because they never looked at the Italian-American community as a whole because the mafia was a select group of a criminal element among the Italian-Americans, and their religious identity was Catholic, a Christian, a Catholic specifically. So they never infiltrated the Catholic Church or the Vatican or Italian restaurants, except those that were known to be frequented by that criminal element. So their analogy was a very specious argument, and I must say it has to be rejected out of hand. So to make that analogy of the mafia and the Muslim community or the Italian-American community, first of all, it's not true. It's ahistorical. It never happened that way. It never infiltrated churches or even regular businesses, you see. So we have to be able to use our skills, and as the imam said, take the logic to its conclusion. So whatever knowledge we have of that element of our past, we need to bring that on into the 21st century and not get bogged down with that same inferior logic. I hope that wasn't too circuitous in answering
the
question.
I see the Jesuits taught you well. I know it wasn't. It was direct. I understood it explicitly and implicitly. And with all due deliberate speed, I picked up on it. I will ask you this, Brother Man. We have a caller from 60347-608. Caller, you're on the air with Religion Means Alive and Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Yeah, brothers. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, my friend. Brother Thabit Madyun.
Yes, sir.
Thabit Madyun. Assalamu alaikum, soldier.
Alaikum assalam. Hey, listen, Albert, I'd like to tell you that that was a fantastic program you had last night. The brother, I think he came from Alabama. And I'll tell you something, man. Him and Mubashir talked to him. And I say to myself, Mubashir is impressed. I'm definitely impressed. So he's just about one of my best friends here. Brother Imam Ramadan,
I hope
you remember me. I worked with you for a little while, you know, on the security. This is years back, though. And I was working with Musa Kabir. And, you know, I too started out in the mosque over in Queens. And Minister Larry Forrest was over there then. And, the reason why I'm calling, actually, though, is to tell you that I'm very happy that I caught the program tonight because, you know, I can't always, for one reason or another, I do happen to miss it. And most of the time it's my phone. I got this very intelligent phone. Do what you want to do when you want to do it. But, you man, I'm so happy that you spoke on and cleared up the things that was happening with the monster over there because, you know, I drive a limousine and I go up and down there sometimes. And I always wondered, I said, now, what is they doing with this money for the monster? Because I keep hearing about asking for the donations, but it don't look like to me nothing was getting done. I didn't stop and look in there. I just seen the window patched up, and but you know I'm glad that you talked about the everything that went wrong with the place, you know, the plumbing and all that, and yeah, I never thought of that. I was just thinking to myself, what happened to that cash? Hi, bloody man, good speaking to you, and hope to see you. I ain't seen you in a while. I'm out far Rockaway now.
Let me ask you a question. What cash?
No, the donations.
What donations?
I don't know. I'm saying the donations that came, supposedly have come by because they always ask for donations to go over there to 105th Street. And I just kind of wondered. I just always kind of wondered. I ain't kind of knocking nothing. I just didn't see nothing done over there. But like I said, I didn't stop. And I guess I didn't talk to the right people. But I heard you tonight. And now I can make my donations.
You've seen the exterior of the building, right?
Yeah.
You didn't look inside, but you saw the outside, right?
No. Well, generally, I'll be driving. You know what I'm saying? So when they catch me at night, I'll be working at the airport.
Have you seen the outside of the building when you drive by?
Yeah, but it's been about 2-3 months. So yeah, I've seen it.
Does it look the way it used to look before the fire?
Say again?
Does it look the way it used to look before the fire?
Man, brother, I'm telling you, that was a long time. I can't even remember. Like I said, I started over there. But
the building is a different color. It's stucco.
From what I remember, it looked basically the same.
Oh, well, your memory is failing you. I can show you a picture.
I can show you pictures of the building before and after.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can do that because, you know, I'm still doing my magazine thing. And if it's all right with you, I can bring you through the magazine.
Excellent.
All right, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right, good talking to you.
All right, well, it's the clock on the wall is saying 7 o'clock. I don't know what time the show is over, brother, man, but I'm going to have to beg the community to forgive me, your listeners. I'm going to have to move along. But it was indeed a pleasure being a guest on your...
Yes, sir. Brother Imam, will you please get Sister Shirley? She's supposed to also be on the program. We do have another half hour on the program. We certainly appreciate you. And if you would be so honored, and I would be honored and privileged if you would give us the address again and where we could send donations.
105-01 Northern Boulevard, Corona, New York, 11368. And you can make those checks, money orders out to Masjid Nuruddin, Nuriddin. And those of you who are familiar with the property, you know that the outside of the building looks nothing like it used to look. And the inside, as I told you, we did an extension. We can hold about 300 people in the masala comfortably alone. And we've pulled out all the plumbing, did it over, pulled out all the electrical, did it over. And, you know, so, hey, anytime you want to come by for a tour, we'd be happy to give you one.
I'll be there.
And we'll take some pictures.
But let me now, I'm bad witness. I did see the building. It looks marvelous. And if I had $150,000 over and above lunch money, you wouldn't even have to ask me. I would write you a check. But nothing like the $100,000 that they've deserved. And I get over the money, and I definitely put make sure that that question is built. So I thank you so much, Honorable and Noble Imam Yusuf Ramadan, for being on the program with us. And we hope that soon you please have your guide to call in, and we can finish out the rest of the program. Thank you, Brother Imam.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. And I hope you will invite me on your program. I'm quite willing and able, hopefully, get a good pot of coffee. And I know I won't have to use my pool room skills when I'm with a very honorable and noble man like you. But just in case, I will revert back to the pool room with the cue stick and all for any persons that may step outside of those bounds. Thank you, Brother Imam.
Well, look up with your mind, because when you look up with your eyes, all you see is sky. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, that was Brother Imam Yusuf Ramadan of the Corona Mosque, Masjid Nuruddin, and the Clara Muhammad school system. I will say this again. I wouldn't invite Louis Farrakhan to see two cats fighting. I think it's a disgrace and a dishonor to the memory of all the ex-slaves to have Louis Farrakhan anywhere near us. I think it's a horrendous thing to even invite Minister Farrakhan, and I support our honorable and noble Imam Mateen for saying that. Now, let him stay on his side of the street and we stay on the outside of the street. We can show people this is what we used to be. But I'm told used to bees don't fly anymore. So we're not looking for used to bees, good bees and could bees. We don't need that kind of thing. We're not that desperate for money to fill the house up with some guy who has disgraced us, who lied on our leader and teacher, who essentially has made fun of us. So I would like to know if there anybody else have any comments. I see Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar is on the line. If he would press 1 and come on the line, I'd certainly like to hear from him. And any of the rest of you, we have people from Pennsylvania. I believe Brother Imam Mujahideen is on the air. So any of you all like to comment, and you don't have to agree with me. This is a democracy. You can have your own opinion. I just want you to be informed. So anybody like to make comments while we have about 25 more minutes on the air, please call 805-727-7013, and please send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Give it up, people. We're still on the air. And any of you who wish to make comments, feel free. Anybody else like to make comments? 805-727-7013. I'm going to call on Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar, see whether he has any comments. Brother Imam.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam. How are you doing?
Alaykum as-salam. What is your opinion? Should we invite Minister Farrakhan for fundraisers or not?
I agree with what Imam Hateen said. We work together. And I agree with things that you said, too, Brother Imam. Now, it ain't we not emotional people no more. Now, we have been taught thoroughly. Now, I heard one brother saying that I think down now they promoting the Lab Phillip and the Imam Faraj. Now, I got books on these guys. These guys have put out books. Really talking bad and nasty about our beloved leader, Imam Wahid Muhammad. And Farrakhan have did that a long time. When he separated from the nation, from the Imam leadership in 1978, he went on a war path against the Imam around the world like Siraj did, Bilal Phillips did. Now, why would we want to bring these people to present anything to our children's mind that cause confusion? It ain't nothing personal, but it's about the truth. I'm like Imam Martin said, we're not Allah. God said to us in our holy book, not that the pure and the impure is not to be mixed together. Now, he was right. Imam Muhammad says, if you want to really know what Farrakhan is all about, don't listen to him out in the public, because that's not what he has the skill to say things in the public to keep him from being seen for what he really is. He said, go to their temple meet. Go to the temple meet and listen to what they teach in their temple meet. I used to go down on Gates Avenue when they had the temple number 7 down there on Gates Avenue. It was up in New York now. And I listened to Minister Kevin, Hafiz, I think that's his name there. And they was presenting Farah Muhammad as God, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as his son, and Farrakhan as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. That's what they were teaching them people. So we know the history of Minister Farrakhan. We know the history of Malcolm. We know the history of all of those people that was Muhammad Ali and all of them that had a big role in the nation of Islam coming up out of the depth as the wilderness of North America, as we might say, buddy, now. So now we're coming to the conclusion of things, and I agree with you, and I agree with you, Imam Martin. I'm not interested in hearing anything that Minister Farrakhan has to say. No disrespect. But I know what my leader has said about Minister Farrakhan. I know what God says to us about that kind of mind. Farrakhan is a mind. All of those people is mind. A mind. They represent a mindset. A mindset. And the mindset that Minister Farrakhan have been in for the last, I don't know how many years, he's not going to change. He's not going to change. Allah said, don't count this religion. Don't count you being a favor to this religion. This religion is a favor to you. And these people acting like Farrakhan is a favor to our community or to the religion. He's not no favor to the religion. He don't even teach the religion. He's not teaching Islam. He's not teaching that religion. our people, the reason why they accepted Imam Deputy Muhammad around the world. Don't you know when they were having trouble, Brother Imam, over in Egypt? They played a tape on not too much. They sent for the Imam to come to Egypt, man, to calm down the citizens of Egypt. And before the Imam left, they awarded the Imam the highest award that any Egyptian citizen can get. They gave that award to the Imam twice when he went to Egypt. They ain't never called Farrakhan to come over there. They ain't never sent for him to come and solve the Muslim problem when he went to Mecca. To try to get some support from Mecca. They asked him, did he check with Imam Deputy Muhammad before he came over there? So they was pointing him back to who they recognized as the leader for the Muslims in America. Because when they was on Arafat, Imam wasn't even the leader at that time. And when they questioned Imam about how he seen the Hajj, and then when Imam gave him their answer, these scholars did that. They called him to his tent, and that man stood up and said, Imam Wahdatul Muhammad. Imam said, they named him Wahdatul. Imam Wahdatul Muhammad, he's the leader for the Muslims in America. They didn't mention Farrakhan. They didn't mention a whole lot of these other so-called scholarly people that think they are scholars in this religion, buddy, man. So we ain't no fools, man. So we stand upon what is right and just for all people. Yes, we do. But God says, save yourself and save your family. And Imam Muhammad says, out of the family tree of Africa. The African-American descendants of slaves here in America that were born in this country, we have the boldest intellect out of all the children from the family tree of Africa. Even those from the West Indian Islands, South America, North Central America, email said it is the intellect of the African-American blacks in America. We have the boldest intellect in this world right now, buddy, now. So I don't know why they want to come and keep trying to make Farrakhan important to the community that was started with the honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now
can I ask
came,
you a question, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam.
Brother Imam, can
yes,
I ask
sir.
You a question?
Go right ahead,
would you? Yeah, would I be wrong in suspecting those people that already been with Farrakhan? You know, were they pretending? Were they with us when Imam Muhammad's alive? Or now
yes,
they think
yes,
that he's physically gone? They can come out of hiding, out of that cocoon, out of our nest, and invite us to be with Minister Farrakhan and Siraj Mahaj. They
that's
had
Siraj. Exactly what they doing. But
so
ma'am, that's
you,
what
you're telling me, Brother Imam, so you're saying I'm not wrong in thinking
no, you're
that?
No, you're not wrong.
I thought I was crazy because, you know, I told the brother, what I told Imam Ramadan is, I my pilgrim skill, I didn't have to get a lot of Islam to know that. But I've seen people play possum, I've seen them sneak up, I've seen all that stuff. So I wanted to let Imam Ramadan know that I didn't even have to be evolved in Islam. I know game when I see game. So I just was wondering, was that game that I was seeing, or was I just had gotten too spooky? Well, something's wrong with me. So, Brother Man, I want you to help explain that to me.
You're saying it right. Amen. My team said, listen, Brother Man, we know that the Shaitan always try to come in. But we are taught to tell the truth, even if against yourself, tell the truth. Now, Brother Man, I came out 44 years in this community. I told you on the fine constant, on post-form and everything, bringing them into the bazaars and everything all up and down the East Coast, man, where when we had those big bazaars in different cities, Philadelphia and Newark and all, and Trenton and all them places, wherever he went to speak at the National Expo. Now, we was taught by Minister James Barnes that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, keep an eye on Farrakhan. Farrakhan is a hypocrite. Now, I was taught that, Brother Man. Now, and that's when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that was taught to me when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was alive, Minister James was alive, and Farrakhan was a national spokesman. Now, this thing is sensitive because I have to take into consideration, and I know you do too, Farrakhan got family members that is married into the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They got children. But their children have to be strong enough to be like Luqman gave the instruction to his son. So listen, son, if anyone try to get you to worship a God other than God, then don't accept them, even if it be your mothers and your fathers. That's what happened with the Imam. Imam stood strong on that principle. But who is the one that told him the father that Trump was, that Luqman gave to his son, it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself. Now, Farrakhan had sat around them tables. He was one of the ones that with the group that brought that tape to try to get the email put out again when the email was speaking on the problem with America is a mythological God. Now, when the email was down in Charlotte, it snowed, and that's the only reason why the program didn't go on, but they invited Imam to this radio station. The white man did. He was a big DJ down in Charlotte. And he asked Imam about the name Farrakhan and what did it mean. So the Imam hesitated. And he said, what it is, Mr. Muhammad, is there something wrong with the name? Or you don't want to speak? And the Imam said, well, since you asked the question, I'm going to have to answer. And the Imam said, you see the word Farrakhan is derived from a word the Rebbe called the ferret. You know that little thing that people used to make a pet out of, that little animal called a ferret? Now, Imam said, that's a play on rat. That's a play on rat, R-A-T, rat. Imam said, you know, like when that rat, that when you come into the room and turn on the light, he scatter and run? Mm-hmm. He said, that's what Farrakhan, that's what that name means. And the author Elijah Muhammad said, the name means one to run away from. That's why he named him Farrakhan, one to run away from. And when we look at the history of Minister Farrakhan throughout his sojourn from the Nation of Islam to where he at now, he's not running towards the religion of Al-Islam. He's been running away from it, and he's been running away from it so far that he's out there in the desert again. And all of those that follow him, they're going back into the desert. They're going back into darkness, Buddy Master. And that's the reason why he don't need to come and try to teach us nothing.
We've been taught by the best. Let me ask you this, Buddy Imam. I want to ask you this question. Allah says in the Quran to fight the schemes of Satan, for they are weak. Would you say it's one of the schemes of Satan to try to get us to believe in Minister Farrakhan? I hate to tell you this, but I have to tell you. I was riding on the train with one of Minister Farrakhan's followers, and he was trying to show me that there were many Allahs. He even took the Arabic word from the Quran and tried to trick it up. I'm not worried about what Farrakhan says in the public. In private, he tells his people that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is alive and going to come back again. And that one brother told me that he was going to come to East Orange, New Jersey. So I know Farrakhan is teaching people one thing and doing another. So why should I appear with a guy like that?
Brother Ma'am, email my team was right when it says, God says to us in our holy book, do not mix the pill in the end pill. You can't mix the pill with the end pill. You can't mix the end pill with the pill. Now, Brother Ma'am, we done heard Farrakhan. You and I know a lot of these people that was not familiar with Minister Farrakhan and when he was the national spokesman for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like some of us are familiar with him. We want to keep unity. But we can't unite on a lie. We can't unite with that presenting disrespectful people. Don't you know, Imam Muhammad said, to not believe in God, he said, that's immoral. It's immoral not to believe in God. And the Imam said, your Allah might not be my Allah, and my Allah might not be your Allah. Now, let us take a look at that statement there. Farrakhan Allah is not our Allah, Buddy Man. And our Allah is not his Allah. Why? Because if you presenting a God other than God, than what Muhammad the Prophet presents to the world, then you ain't following Muhammad the Prophet or community. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was blessed to bring the right perception back about the religion of Al-Islam that was lost from our father, Abraham. And what did God say about that? He said, any people, Anybody that choose a religion other than the religion of our father Abraham seemed to make a fool of themselves. Now you take a look at Farrakhan and see, don't he fit that scripture by not choosing the God of our father Abraham? Abraham built a house over there right now. And during this month of Ramadan, they're coming up, and after that, people going to that house that he built. And that house is the house that was built for the worship of the one true God, not no man God. God ain't no black man, no white man, no brown man, no red man, no yellow man. God's the one that created the black man, the brown man, the red man, the yellow man, and the white man. One God, one humanity, one human family. One human family, one God, one human family. one humanity, one God, one creator. Fine God don't teach that. Brother Man, you know Fine Con. You done sat under his teaching for many years, Brother Imam. You was
well,
in the
but, Brother Imam, I hate to tell you, I hate to disappoint our audience, but I did leave Father Con even in the first. While the Abdullah Muhammad was the minister, I found the Farrakhan to not even meet the standards of a minister of the Abdullah Muhammad. I thought all he was doing was promoting Farrakhan. You know, and I remember one time I pawned my watch, my wedding band, so Farrakhan could get a house. Farrakhan had three cars, and I didn't even have a subway token. And the subway token was 50 cents. So even under the Nation of Islam, I didn't want to follow Farrakhan. So if I wouldn't follow Farrakhan when Abdullah Muhammad was living, why would I follow Farrakhan to now? I wouldn't follow him. Farrakhan to do is sit down in a seat and listen, because he didn't have nothing to say to me. Because you know what, Billy Ma'am? He brought 1 million men to Washington and did nothing with them. He brought another million families together to Washington and did nothing with them. He had three marches and had done nothing with them. Our people are still killing themselves. I hope Mr. Farrakhan people take this tape back to Mr. Farrakhan.
I like this stuff. Dr. Clark, when he came on Gary Berg show one time, right after the Million Man March, that's the question that he asked to the radio. That's the historian, the Egyptian historian. He's a historian in Egyptology. Dr. Clark, John Henry Clark. He said, now, Farrakhan went down there to Washington, and he done had all of those young men to come down there. He said, well, what did he do with the money? He said, he ain't never came and explained to nobody where the money went. And to this day, these people don't know where that money went. But he ain't did nothing. What do Allah say in our Quran? Don't let those ones that can got that slick tongue and smooth tongue and got a lot of sons to follow them. Don't let them dazzle you with their talk. Don't let them dazzle with the amount of sons they might have in their group. Allah said, no, don't do that. Don't let them dazzle you that way. And this is what, like you said, he's a charmer. Oh, he know how to dazzle people with his tongue. So do a snake, buddy, now. So do a snake. A snake. When we look at scripture, that snake in the garden, it started out as a little garden snake. Because it wasn't checked back then, buddy, ma'am. And when it got to Revelation, when it got to Revelation, he had gotten so big, he had grew wings and blowing fire out of his mouth. That means he had wings. He could fly all over the world, blowing that corrupt fire out of his mouth, back down on humanity, and corrupting the society with that fire coming from his mouth that they call a smooth talk, and set the world on fire with corruption, brother. Now, that's what Farrakhan do. His talk is corruption. It corrupts the spirit.
Well, let me ask you this.
The heart and it corrupts the soul of any innocent person.
Let me ask you this, Billy, man. Have you seen Farrakhan build anything? Has he built any schools? Has he built any businesses?
Not one, Billy, man.
See,
I ain't seen it.
I don't even see him embracing the honor of Elijah Muhammad. He says he's a national representative of the honor of Elijah Muhammad. But let me ask you this. Now, you may know a little bit more than I do, and I'm sure you do. And did Abdullah Muhammad teach Scientology?
Not Brother Mam. I read in his final call where he had a big group of them to go to a big meeting in Texas pertaining to the psychology group of people. They went out there and joined them in Texas, man. They sat down and listened to them people teach so-called followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Scientology because Farrakhan ordered them to go out there and down with them people.
Brother Imam, you were a lieutenant in the nation. You were a student minister in the nation. Did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ever teach Scientology, to your knowledge?
Brother Imam, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he is teaching Islam, which means freedom, justice, and equality. He didn't say nothing about no Scientology. He said he was teaching Islam that represents freedom, justice, and equality.
You read Message to the Black Man. You read How to Eat to Live.
I sold many of them.
Okay, and you read all the books. Is there anything in there by L. Ron Hubbard?
Not one thing, Brother Mel. Not one thing.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it, or how is it, that Minister Farrakhan is pushing Scientology and claiming to be a follower of Imam Elijah Muhammad. Didn't he condemn Imam Muhammad and said Imam Muhammad was an Uncle Tom and loved
yes.
a white man?
Him and
Well, let me ask you this. Brother, I want to understand something. If a man, if a wife beater, if a man is beating his wife, how can that man, that woman reconcile with that man until he stopped beating her?
Brother, man, we want to see. We want them to know that when you talk about the wife in scripture, the community is the wife. Yes, and he's beating the brother, man. That stuff that he, when Farrakhan come out and address the so-called community of African-American people. Brother, man, I've seen a show on Bobby Jones. That's a Christian gospel show. He's very popular. He brings out new gospel singles on this Christian show. And at the end of that show, brother, man, you know how they impose picture into another picture? At the end of that show, they had Farrakhan, a big picture Farrakhan, standing behind the whole group with his arm out like he might be Jesus Christ, their Savior. And that's what they look at Farrakhan as. Farrakhan is more of a Christian than a Muslim. He's still a Christian. Ain't nothing wrong with being a Christian. If you're the kind of Christian like Jesus Christ was, then that's all right. But if you that Christian like the Jacobite Judah gave to the world, and that's what Farrakhan is, because I read they sent Farrakhan. The Jews sent Farrakhan to bring him a message. They sent a message to Imam W.D. Muhammad by Farrakhan to tell the Imam, listen, we're watching you, and everything that you do, we prepared to counter that. Whatever you do, they sent that message by Farrakhan, man. So now, Minister Farrakhan, we don't have no personal gripe against him, because I realize who he is and where he came from. It is the youth, it is those young children that is being directed and inspired to go the wrong way by listening to Farrakhan or anybody else that talk like Farrakhan or have that kind of mind. That's not El Islam. That's not what saved the world. Now, Islam is what saved the world. The religion that God gave Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him, to bring back from what they lost when Abraham went out. When they asked the prophet, who do you follow? What way do you follow? He said, I follow the Melech. I follow the way of my father Abraham. And Abraham was the one that brought the world to the idea that there is one God more than any prophet, brother, now, in his time. He was the first one to do that. So how can you come and tell me that came through the nation of Islam, and I heard on the Elijah Muhammad before I even knew who you are good about who the Imam. We were already sensitized that it would be Imam W.D. Muhammad before he was born. He was made the leader, brother Imam. You and I was taught that the on the Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
Was taught by Farah Muhammad that you and Clara are gonna have a son, Elijah. And when you have one, name him after me, and you let that one help us, Elijah, in our work. Talking about Farah Muhammad and the underlying Muhammad, let that one. He didn't say let Farrakhan help him in the work. Farrakhan, Malcolm, all of us, we were blessed. We were blessed to be able to be attracted to the underlying Muhammad to get us back on the path to take us toward our Deen el-Fitra, which this world has worked on more than any other people to keep us off that path. It was the leadership of the Honorable Muhammad and the leadership of Imam Muhammad that connected us back to our fitra, brother Imam. Farrakhan is not talking and connecting us back to our fitra, and he's our brother. And what does God say? Help your brother when he's in the wrong. So how you do that, dear Holy Apostle? Stop him from being wrong. That's what you're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. And that's what Imam, my team, we're trying to stop our brother Farrakhan and those that go with him from being wrong. They're supposed to be our brothers and sisters. But we ain't going along with that crap that you're talking, man, because it's not El Islam. It's not El Islam, brother, man. And we will be cowards if we did not stand up and challenge the lie, man. It's a lie. The shaitan is a liar. He's a liar, brother, man. And Farrakhan rather teach the lie than to teach the truth. So how can we accept that? They can be mad all they want to with me, man. So he needs people with him that don't mind to criticize and criticize. I think you're that kind of person. I think email my team that kind of person. I know I'm that kind of person. They can criticize all they want to. But God say he will tell all of us at the end what it is that we have done. And that's the time we're in right now, brother man, because we're coming to the conclusion of things now.
That's right.
And that's right. Man, my team, well, he always tell me in the morning, he said, brother, move out here. Man, we want to be on the right side of history. Brother, ma'am, don't we want to be on the right side of history?
That is right, brother, ma'am. Brother, ma'am, this is the day of judgment. Brother, this is the day where God is concluding things. You were with Imam Muhammad. Yeah, we have a caller from 717. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you're on the air with Religion Means Alive.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes,
I hear the energy. I feel the sincerity. And a few comments. A lot of things were made. Points were made that I don't know if I have time to go over it, the ones that I want to highlight. But I will say this much, that, you know, our life, we know is all for Allah, right? And we know that the history of our religion, from the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, up until now, is a continuation of the birth of Adam to Muhammad, as I'm hearing, and the energy and the representative of individuals, as the brother said, and communities are seen in personalities, but more importantly, in language. And a lot of the language that we're bringing to the attention and focusing the mindset of, as the brother said, the mindset of a particular speaker or a particular group of people, and how we shouldn't mix the pure with the impure. And saying that, I was thinking, even with a person's deeds, so if we're going to make a judgment or make a statement for a decision of for or against an individual, we know all judgment goes back to the Creator. But even in our understanding, we have to make personal judgment, what I hear saying. So if we're going to be just in our decision making about a person's contribution or character or ideology or disposition, then we have to continue that logic. Don't mix the pure with the impure. So if an individual has deeds that are for his credit and against his credit, we can't mix them and say, well, they're all bad. Or we can't mix them and say they're all good, depending on the closeness to our heart or our disposition. So in saying that, I'm thinking about our community and how we're evolving. And we know the enemy, he would want that we both stay in attack mode against each other and pull down the what is obvious, right? The apparent wrongdoing in the individual. But I just wanted to end it on this note about the life of the prophet upon him. If we take the same scenario, the scenario we're in as believers in America, African-American, coming from one struggle and then having two separate minds, two separate leaders, and it seems to be at odds. If we look at the life, for example, of the prophet, there were many of his people who came from that same environment in Mecca. And they were criticized. They even tried to kill the prophet. They were of his family. And then we see later on when the prophet made the migration, so forth and so on, some of those same companions that weren't companions at his time became his closest companions and became strong models for the Muslim community. That's not to say that that's our hope for anyone that we see in the obvious wrong, but we have to, if we're going to use the logic to say someone is wrong, he could never be forgiven because of his orientation and his disposition. That's for Allah to judge and for us to judge for ourselves.
Yes,
to make decisions that we're not going to accept for our
let me extend the logic. I accept that logic, but you know what? There's a verse, chapter, and this is an English-speaking audience, so that opens with tawbah, repentance. So once he has denounced those ideas, yes, then we can walk. I don't have any problem with that. I'm following the logic. And believe you me, I'm going to tell you something. I'm dealing with this with wisdom. This is based on discussion with Imam Muhammad. He told us that we're going to meet with Minister Farrakhan's followers. Make sure a third party invited. If he wants to talk about how to make the African American community safer, that's no problem with him. That's not a third party, but we shouldn't invite him to our place. No,
right.
That's
how we have to deal with him. We have to deal with him with his claim.
Let me tell you, I know how to deal with him.
He's never claiming to be our leader. He's never claiming to be our influence, but those who sought his company, it would be more intelligent for us to go to that rather than the result of that. Because when we go,
Can I say something, Brother Ma'am?
Okay. Yes, sir. Please.
When we read the Quran, Allah cut them people off. Yeah, you need to read the Quran more closely and see what Allah. Everybody got a timetable, man. But God. So you can't now. Farrakhan, he's 80-some years old, man. He's been around a long time. And Allah say, whether you warn them or warn them not, they ain't going to change. So we got people who got that kind of mindset. You can teach to them till you get blue in the face. They ain't going to change because God have hardened their heart. What do you think?
And Allah says,
Let me finish.
Those
who claim
the Christ
is God. What does he do to Pharaoh? Look at the name. Pharaoh.
He left him as it is.
Pharaoh.
Yeah, he left him as it was.
He's a Pharaoh on his people, and he's a con man, too. That's a reality. His history speaks to that. I don't know. You might be a young brother, but I know the nation of Islam. I know when Malcolm was the national spokesman, Farrakhan was the national spokesman after Malcolm, and we've seen the direction in the thinking. I've heard Farrakhan say out of his mouth, things that he then went back on. We went back on his own word in front of us. That was accepting him as the national spokesman under the honor of the Imam. I heard him go against the Imam in public and in private. He went against Imam W.D. Muhammad in a mean spiritual way, too, brother. Now, you think now that these new people, he ain't talking to the people that know him. He's going out of the minds of people and corrupt the minds of those young brothers and sisters, brothers that might be influenced by his talk like you. Or somebody else might be influenced by his talk or by his tongue.
No, we're not influenced by his talk. We know truth knocks out the brain of falsehood. So we don't fear what someone says.
Email said, where you find God? He said, in language. He said, where you find the devil? In language. So the Imam told us, listen to their language. Their language would tell you who they are. And when we listen to the language of Minister Farrakhan and anybody that think like that, their language let us know where they are, man. And that's a reality, young brother. We're one people. We're one people. But we are supposed to be our brother's people. We know what the honorable Elijah Muhammad and those honorable noble men and women that call themselves FOI and MGG that started out with him. We still got people in our community that were with Masfarad. They seen Masfarad. They with the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's who they with. Why? Because they know that Farad Muhammad said to Imam Muhammad and sat down before Farad Muhammad died. They was meeting in the Imam W.D. Muhammad house, and Farad Muhammad was the change to reading of the Quran with the Imam, and the Imam wanted him. He said, no, Brother Imam, you read the Quran. I love how you read the Quran. This is the man they call God. And this is the one time kind of keep pointing to his followers that he came, God came in the person of Muhammad, M-U-H-H-M-M-A-D. That's neither the name, at the end of the name, and he mad. We ain't following the man Muhammad. Imam Muhammad told Bill Clinton to allow us to clear my mother's and father's name. He said they went and got my father's driver license, brought him to me. And on my father's driver license, his name was spelled M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. He said, why else I'm telling you that, Mr. President? Because my name on my birth certificate was spelled Wallace V. Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. He said, Mr. President, I'm the Muhammad with the medicine. I'm not the mad Muhammad. And when you spell that name, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, is mad. And that man that came and told us God, he came in the person of God, that's a mad idea. That's what have driven this world crazy. Man trying to play God. You ain't no God. And Muhammad, that mad Muhammad, has been the influence of many of Muslims in America that started out in the nation of Islam. But out of that mother come the right man, come the right mind, Muhammad with the medicine, and that is Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Mujahid. Thank you, buddy, ma'am.
And I appreciate the brother Imam Mujahideen.
Okay, I gotta go, brother, ma'am. I could not get in contact with him. My wife's trying to get in contact with him.
Yes, sir. We are not out of message, But we are out of time, and we thank our noble and honorable listening audience. This is a fiery station. This is a controversial station. So tune in to Religion Means Alive. Tomorrow we're going to have some psychotherapy. Thursday I might come back on again for a hot discussion, or we'll have the healthcare program followed Friday by the live from Selma. Saturday we'll have a discussion with Brother Imam Askia Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Imam Mujahideen. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.